It's that time again. We're back, aren't we, Sharon?
Yes, we are.
Back at the mics, and I really have missed seeing your beautiful face.
I've missed you too, Lucy. Where have you been?
Across the telephone doing these podcasts long distance.
That's right.
We've had such busy, busy schedules, but we got the opportunity to get back together and sit in our studio and look face to face and do this thing again.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cancer Survivor Show, brought to you by
the Chemo Girls.
How's it going tonight?
Oh, Lucy, this is a great way to wrap up what I would call a perfect evening.
That's right.
It was such a nice evening. And we were at Dr. Jaw's office here in Waycross with a launch of a community-sponsored backpack program
That's right. Our packs.
And this has been about 2 years coming. But, you know, Dr. Jaw and Miss Angie Adams, they really have encouraged us along the way in the development of our mission. So
that's right.
I just want to say thank you to everybody that was involved, especially Miss Toni Nelson and the Junior Service League. There's so many people to thank, Southeast Cancer Unit. But it was lovely. They had the most amazing brownies, right?
So a little bird told me you ate 3 of those decadent things.
I really did. Shh. Yes, I did. And I ate them listening to an incredible harpist.
Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful evening. And, you know, what was most impressive to me is the heart of the community came out to see the launching of our backpacks. And for any of our listeners out there that don't know exactly what that's all about, it's our mission to equip women for their first day of chemotherapy.
That's right.
With the tools and support and comfort items that is going to make that journey just a little bit better. So your little community here in Southeast Georgia has rallied together, earned the funds or raised the funds to buy about 56 backpacks.
It's
incredible. And the looks on people's faces was just priceless tonight. And it was a perfect evening.
It really was. A lot of new faces and a lot of faces we've been involved with for a long time, especially the two that are sitting here with us. What a segue. Are you impressed? Yeah, we had
something different tonight.
Arm candy with us on our evening. Our gorgeous husbands were there with us, and they have stepped up to the mic. You have all 4 of us. So we have my husband, Tracy.
Hello, everyone.
And Lucy's husband, Winston.
Nice to be here with you girls.
So our topic for this evening is really about the impact of a diagnosis on a spouse.
So. I took the opportunity while we were all together, and I think that was a great thing for you to think about doing as podcasting on what it feels like from a spouse's point of view when they hear that their bride has breast cancer.
Right. So, you know, we're just going to jump in, guys, and I want to ask you guys to take turns and address how you felt in the very beginning, right after you learned that your wife had cancer. So, Winston, let's start with you.
Well, at very first, you know, you hear it and you say, you know, this is something that happens to other families. It doesn't happen to our family. And I had a strong sense of fear go over me, but I tried my best to stay strong. Lucy's a very strong girl, and so I tried not to act like it bothered me as much as it really did. And I don't know if she could see through it or not, but I just tried to stay strong for her and act like, well, it wasn't a big deal. You know, she's going to be fine. But in my heart, I was really concerned and really worried. And, you know, I mean, you even think about what life would be like without her, and that's something I never want.
Yeah.
Well, and for me, I remember it was during the summer, and I was working as a painter at that time, and we were out painting this new restaurant that was opening up, and I remember I got the call from Sharon, and I mean, my heart sank, and it just, a sense of fear just kind of washed over me, and I left the restaurant and I actually ran the red light, leaving, trying to get home, and wasn't even paying attention, and it was just scary, and so on the way home, you're kind of thinking about things and what's going on. And then, of course, when you pull up in the driveway, you put on your man face and try to be the strong person. Like, it's going to be fine, sweetie. But it was really scary in the beginning.
So I remember that. Yeah, I remember that too, very much. But you did a good job, by the way. And then what I'm wondering also is more long-term going through the process. You know, what did you struggle with the most? We'll start with you, Tracy. What was your primary struggle in dealing with the situation?
I think it's the same struggle that most men have. It's just by nature, men just want to fix things. We want to ride in on our big white horse and be able to rescue. And in situations like this, you just can't. I mean, all you can do is kind of try to figure out as much as you can, try to make things easier on your wife or whoever it is that you're caring for. But it's just that sense of hopelessness of there's nothing that you can do to fix it immediately. You just kind of have to walk through it and try to help carry them at times.
I have to interject here and just say that I'm so incredibly proud of the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our listeners out there don't know that you were a very young couple when this happened to you. They don't know that you were only married a year when you found out you had breast cancer. And, you know, you were just starting your lives together. And you had an invasive, a very fast invasive cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was no sitting back and waiting. It was like, jump into this situation and let this thing go. You know, my situation was much different. We were older, been married for a long time. I had a very, very early diagnosis, so my treatment was not as invasive as yours. And so, you know, two different scenarios altogether, but I just wanted to commend the two of you. Just I sit here looking at you and just thinking, you know, you guys were babies when this happened to you, and it forced you to be in grown-up shoes really, really, really quick. So
yeah.
Just hats off to the Cruz
family
for your boldness so and your strength. And
yeah, I will have to say that Tracy stepped up to the plate the way very few men his age
that's right.
would have. And I'm grateful for that. But he was sitting here describing this white horse and swooping in, and I'm thinking I would have worn a long Rapunzel wig for something like that. So if you ever want to arrange something like that, we can definitely do that.
Tracy absolutely hit the nail on the head, though. Young or old, married, short time, mm-hmm. long time. The male figure always wants to be the one to fix things, and you do. You enter into it, and you feel helpless, and you don't know what to do. And all you know to do is just support and pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think that's something that, you know, it is very different for men and for women. I think that's very useful information, you know.
So I'd like to ask the guys, since they're with us tonight, one more question about long-term effects of post-cancer diagnosis. You know, how is life now? You know, it's been 10 or 12 years for you mm-hmm. guys, been mm-hmm. almost 4 years for us. Is it something that, you know, continues to nag in the back of your minds, whether there'll be another situation? You know, am I going to go through this again? Is it going to be worse? That sort of thing. Is it something that you worry about, or you just put in the recesses of your mind and have faith that it's not going to happen again?
That's a loaded question, Lisa.
Mm.
Well, I'm fairly good at compartmentalizing things, as Sharon
and
shakes
how.
Her head at me.
Yes.
But, I think for the most part, I was pretty much able to kind of put that in the back of my mind. But I know with the type of cancer that Sharon had, and because of the type of receptors and things that she had, that there was like a 10-year stretch where there was still a pretty high risk that she could end up with it again. And we had seen so many ladies who had the same issues that Sharon had, and they ended up dying. And every time something like that would come up, I mean, that nagging sensation in the back of your mind starts turning a little bit. So you have to kind of reprocess through things all over again.
Yeah, starting with those who mentored me and then moving to people that I mentored, that was really eerie.
Yeah, scary.
So,
for me personally, I think I pretty well put the past in the past, but there's always that little voice there that it does, you worry about it, but you pretty well suppress it, and you say, I want to live in the present, and I want to enjoy this time. And I think that it's really made Lucy and I grow closer. It's made it, the little things that used to upset us no longer upsets us. I tell people this sometimes, and they don't think I'm telling the truth, but I can't remember the last time we had a crossword. Life is to be valued, and when you have a situation that makes you realize how fragile life can be, then it makes you really appreciate the time that you have together. I love her more than ever, and just value every minute with her.
So, and I feel the same way. I mean, it definitely something is that grew us closer together. I mean, it was really early in the marriage, and we didn't get to
trial by fire.
Yeah, so we kind of got thrown into it pretty quick, but it did make us. I mean, we were an old married couple, probably 2 years in. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might as well have been married 30 years at that point. So, it was really great. It was really great.
Yeah, I agree. So, Lucy, it's that time. I think we're going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I have one more question. It would be remiss to close this without asking you guys, do you have any advice for men that are just now walking into a cancer story with their spouse? Anything that you would tell somebody on the upfront?
The advice would I say would... just to be able to show them all the love that you can, because, you know, they're going through a really, even though they're going through something physical in their life, they're going through something that's even more emotional on them. So you really just need to show them the love, show them you care, and keep them in your prayers. I mean, I think for a man to humble himself and pray for his wife, especially to pray for her out loud with her, to let her know that you're calling on a higher power, that she means that much to you, that you're going to call on a higher power that you believe can heal her if he will. And just put that into her life to know that there is a higher power that's being reached out to for her.
Right. And I guess for me, going back to the whole men needing to fix things, I mean, you're going to have to kind of throw that out the window and be willing to sit there and listen and be willing to hold her hand, hold her head. And it's just
cover her head when it's
cold.
Cover
her head in the middle of the night when she's freezing to death because she's bald. But yeah, it's just kind of stepping outside of what you think you need to do as far as fixing the cancer, but just really being there for her emotionally and physically. So
this leads me into another question. I'm so sorry. But we talk a lot about how to support a cancer patient. What would have been ideal in terms of support for you guys? What could the people around you do to help support you as you were going through it? And what could a cancer patient know about helping their caregiver?
So I think I was pretty young, and I didn't know a whole lot about cancer anyway, and so it was a little difficult trying to learn everything as you go and figuring out all the mistakes and things like that. And it would have been nice to have some more information about things going on, as well as maybe a support group type thing that could have gone to. I know recently we had heard about a cancer support group for caregivers from Bruce Countryman. I can't remember the name of the group, but he had just kind of told us that there was a group, and it kind of building yourself up spiritually and preparing yourself to be able to manage the situations and the emotions that you have so you can be a better caregiver for your person who's going through cancer.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we were going through it, I was very blessed that I've got a group of men that I meet with every Thursday at lunch, and We meet for an hour and a half, and we hold each other accountable in our lives, but we also share our problem. There's a group of about eight of us, and so when one of us have a problem, we all have a problem, whether it be financial, a wife with cancer, a problem with a child or whatever, that we're always there for each other. And that was a very, very important thing to me as we were going through that, that I could bounce that off. It's an accountability group, and there's trust in that group, that what's said in that group stays in that group. So you can share your heart with them and what you're going through, and they will they'll really help you. So, you know, I would recommend to anybody that's going through this, find you a support group. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just a cancer support group. Just find some guys that really mean a lot to you, that you know you can trust, and set together to meet with them, you know, once a week, in the morning, evening, lunchtime, whatever will work for you. But just meet consistently, and it's a good thing to put a group together like that before you have a problem, so that when you have the problem, that they're already there for you.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
So, Miss Sharon.
Yes, Lucy.
I hate to do this because, man, it's good to be here again and be in the studio and just be sharing. It's been sweet having our guys here tonight and hearing their words. You know, sometimes we don't even take the time to talk about our feelings, you know, when we go through things like this.
As the guys snicker, like they really want to talk about their feelings. They really love us that they sat here and did this.
Yeah, they're wearing pink tonight.
Right? No. No, they're not.
So I guess we should end the show with our not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine what yours is for today.
Oh, yeah. This one's
based on our event tonight and the yeah. thrill that we had to be there for this community launch.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet that there was a special moment for you tonight.
There was. We're in this newly renovated oncology suite that had previously belonged to another oncologist. And strangely, we're launching this backpack project here, but that was the site of the very first backpack I ever gave away, and the lady that I gave it to was there. It was so
how
amazing.
Special was that?
It really was. Miss Amy Moy was there, and I felt like we'd come full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
you had the original pink backpack.
I did. And it was so cool.
It's a little crumpled.
It's a little crumpled.
A little used and just a little tarnished there.
My friend Michelle Street said it had been washed many times.
But how special that was, that in the same place that you gave the very first backpack was the first giveaway for a whole countywide movement.
That's right.
So I don't know that we could top that, not just surviving but tidbit.
No, and we didn't plan it this way.
That's right.
We realized it when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was amazing.
That's our bit for the day.
That's right. So, everybody, I guess we will see you again next week, speak to you again next week. But for now, just remember, as always, we're not just surviving, but we're thriving with you. Good night, everybody.
So long.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.